Welcome to the Onion Project Podcast, a podcast that brings the latest Onion research and development and marketing projects to light. Each episode, we talk with leading growers, consultants, and researchers out in the field on levy-funded research and marketing that is driving the Australian onion industry forward. This podcast is being brought to you by Hort Innovation using onion industry levies and funds from the Australian government and is hosted by Coccinell Communications. Today, we'll be talking all about the IMAP Pests program and how it's working to improve plant pest management in the horticulture sector. First up, we're joined by Shakira Johnson, Engagement and Adoption Coordinator for IMAP Pests, who is going to talk us through the program. Welcome to the show, Shakira. Can you give me a bit of background on your role with AusVeg and the IMAP Pests program?
Sure. As you mentioned, my role at AusVeg is as the Engagement and Adoption Coordinator for IMAP Pests. So IMAP Pests is a cross-industry program of research, development and extension for plant pest surveillance. And it's a national collaboration involving each of the plant industry RDCs, the federal government and several research groups. We research and develop new ways of monitoring high priority pests and diseases with new technologies in surveillance and diagnostics. And then we tie all of that information together and package it up for industry to support their pest management activities on farm. So my role is to interact within that group of collaborators to support and facilitate that cross collaboration, and then harness the information coming out of that research for the external stakeholders, so the beneficiaries of the research, the growers, the agronomists, and people who directly benefit from the information. And we like to think of that information flow as a two-way street. So we like to capture feedback from those at the coalface. We want to hear what they think of what we're doing and what they'd like to see in the future. So my role is capturing that feedback as from industry as well as sharing that information with them.
Fantastic. And how did the program come about, Shakira, and how is it actually funded?
So the concept for the IMAP pest surveillance system came about off the back of various research projects in surveillance and diagnostics, in particular research out of the Plant Biosecurity CRC. At the core of the concept was this idea that we had these novel ways of trapping fungal spores and insects that were working toward early detection of biosecurity targets, so those nasties that we don't want entering the country. And the technology showed great promise, but to expand on that information that they could deliver, industry wanted to know about what is already present here in Australia and how these technologies could support your everyday pest management by providing that fast and accurate pest and disease information that would help improve their pest management decisions and ultimately improving profits for industry. So the program is funded by the Department of Agriculture, Water and Environment's Rural R&D for Profit program, and it's led by Hort Innovation with funding contributions from each of the plant industry RDCs and the research organisations involved.
Well, thanks for that. And can you provide some more detail about what's involved? I understand there are several sub-projects as part of the overall program.
Yeah, so the National Plant Pest Surveillance System is made up of research into surveillance, pest and disease diagnostics, data management, and then the extension and engagement activities. So we have surveillance research and development from South Australia's Research and Development Institute. They are developing a suite of mobile surveillance units that we call Sentinels, and these feature combinations of specialised trapping technology for airborne pests and diseases. And then downstream from that trapping technology, they use cutting-edge detection and molecular diagnostics to identify and understand the dynamics of what they're picking up. And then we have Western Australia's Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development. They are mainly focused on a surveillance network throughout WA's grain belt, but they are working with sophisticated trapping technologies coupled with new ways of diagnosing what they're catching, and they push all that information out through their PestFacts articles.
Yeah.
And we've got several diagnostics groups. So the group at SAARDI, they're working not only on traditional techniques, using, you know, microscopes, looking down the scope to identify what pests they're picking up, but they're also using high throughput or processing lots of samples at once to identify the pathogens that are flying in the air. Then we've got Ag Victoria or Ag Victoria Research, who are working on new technology for doing an even bigger sweep, a broad scale detection of all of the insects that are trapped, with a particular focus on identifying those biosecurity targets. And then, of course, being a cross-industry collaboration, we also have Sugar Research Australia doing some molecular diagnostics. So they're updating their toolkit for protecting their industry. And we also have University of Queensland working with the Cotton RDC on a number of high-priority pests for cotton. But a lot of the work that they're doing is able to be transferred across to those other targets for other industries. And they're looking at understanding what those pests are feeding on in between when they're attacking our crops. What else are they feeding on after they attack the crops? And how long are they feeding on those crops? And if we can understand a little bit more about their feeding behaviour, that will help us possibly control those targets as well.
Well, there's certainly a lot going on through that program. So what are the next steps for it and the timing around that?
Well, as IMAP Pest nears the end of the Sentinel development stage, we'll be focusing on in-field trials that will enable us to engage with growers, agronomists and consultants across the growing regions and deliver that important pest and disease information that can contribute to on-farm pest management. And throughout the remainder of 2021, the six sentinels that have been constructed will be deployed around the country to different growing regions in trials for veg, broadacre, cotton, and we'll be looking to test and optimise the system. So our current roadmap includes locations in Queensland, so we'll be showcasing the sentinel at the Port Connections Convention and then conducting trials in the Lockyer Valley. We'll be deploying the unit to Tamworth and showcasing the unit at the Crop Consultants Australia seminar. Then we'll be doing trials in the Riverina and Western Victoria and the Green Triangle. And then, of course, building on the trials we've already done across South Australia in the grains growing regions and several important veg growing regions. We encourage people to stay up to date with the locations and trials that we're conducting across the country by visiting the IMAP Pests website, which is imappests.com.au. And you can view each of the sentinel units and the traps that are featured on board those. And you can go to the trial page and see the different pests and diseases that we're able to pick up at those trial sites. And the data is regularly updated and shared through the website. And we encourage growers to visit this site and see what information is coming out and then give us feedback on what they think about that information and what they'd like to see in future. And by the end of the project in 2022, we're hoping to have demonstrated the proof of concept surveillance system that's suitable to different regions and supported by the appropriate rapid diagnostic tests for key insect pests and pathogens across the different industries.
Well, certainly some great information and insights coming through there. Thank you so much for your time, Shakira.
No worries, my pleasure.
To wrap up today's episode, we're joined by Rowan Kimber, who will share some insights on the Sentinel design and construction and pathogen diagnostics coming out of the Molecular Diagnostic Centre at SAARDI. Thanks for joining us today, Rowan.
Thank you very much for having me.
Not a problem. And can you please tell us a little bit about your background and role with the South Australian Research and Development Institute, or SAARDI?
Yes, my background has actually been in predominantly in the grains industry. I've been with SAARDI now for around about 25 years as a plant pathologist, and most of my research roots have been grounded in foliar diseases that affect grain legumes particularly, and working with fava beans and chickpeas, field peas and the like. Most of my research has been industry-focused research that serves the grains industry, but in the last sort of 5 years or so, I've diversified also into looking into a lot of new technologies that are going to best serve not just the grains industry but other industries for monitoring pests and diseases and airborne pests and diseases particularly. So that's sort of been a recent passion, and it's taken me down on a fairly new path.
And Shakira has taken us through the details of IMAP pests and talked a little about diagnostics. Can you explain more specifically about pathogen diagnostics in relation to the Molecular Diagnostic Centre at SAADI?
Yeah, so the onion industry is probably fairly familiar with an output of the Molecular Diagnostic Centre known as PredictorB. It's a service, a molecular testing service for identifying soil-borne pathogens, and they've been developing that technology for certainly the last couple of decades, if not a bit longer. And it's an established diagnostic service that uses quantitative DNA detection technology that coupled with some quite unique ways of being able to extract DNA out of soil samples, but recently they've been actually diversifying into other environmental samples, so not just soil but also plant or water, or in the case of what I'm particularly interested in, air samples. So something that I've been working on in a couple of projects the last number of years have been taking air samplers that basically really just essentially suck air in and collect particles that are airborne, and then and working with the Molecular Diagnostic Centre to develop their tests that are being able to detect pathogens that are in the air. And this type of approach is not new per se. All around the world, air samplers have been used for decades to capture airborne pathogens and quantify them. But what they've been doing typically is looking down a microscope at to those captured samples and identifying the unique sizes and shapes of these airborne pathogens and then counting them essentially visually. Really, that's something that's becoming more and more difficult and laborious and expensive to do. So we've been transiting these types of approach into using the molecular signature of a pathogen, more specifically the DNA of that pathogen that's unique. And if we're able to harvest all of the DNA out of an air sample, we can then use those unique signatures or DNA fingerprints. And we're able to quantify it using qPCR technology that the Molecular Diagnostic Centre have been developing for many other purposes.
And a little bit of a lead on from that, why are diagnostics so important?
Well, I think the world has had a crash course in diagnostics of recent. Mm-hmm. If you look at the situation with COVID-19, when we're looking at a virus in that instance, which can spread far and wide, and we need to understand where it's spread and how many people have it and do they actually have COVID or do they have something else, then diagnostics has completely underpinned that. And in fact, very similar methods to diagnostics to what we're talking about, because of a qPCR to detect it in an individual or even sequencing or metabarcoding to understand the strains that might be within that individual. So diagnostics is a really critical step in understanding what exactly the problem is, confirming what it is, and even maybe quantifying how much of it is in the air, or quantifying how much of, is it in the soil in the case of what may have been using with PredictorB. So it underpins just an accurate detection and therefore an accurate response.
And early detection is also really key to managing pest and disease incursions. So how can the IMAP pests system help growers with early detection?
Yeah, this is a critical step. And like anything, when new technology is rolled out, as soon as you draw that line as to how fast you can detect it, inevitably we want it faster because the value of the information is sort of recognised and appreciated. So in case of IMAP pests, what we're really trying to do, or we have done and are doing, is to establish a proof of concept that we can set up a pathway that is formalising a surveillance activity such as placing air samplers in the form of these IMAP pest sentinels out into the landscape. We have a way of tracking those samples through unique barcodes to each one of those samples, and then there's a pathway through the diagnostics centre, such as the Molecular Diagnostics Centre or our collaborators in AgriBio in Victoria, and then that all of that data is married together and managed, and then and put out for the end user to then see what happened at that time and at that location in that sample, and with information that they're interested in. And that's linking all of those different parts of the chain are really what we're about, and we're trying to do it as efficiently and effectively and fast as we can. And so early detection really is the earlier the end user, a grower or a consultant, has this information, the more effective their response strategy is going to be. We're all probably aware that, you know, once you know of a situation and it's well down the pathway and established, then the chances of being able to control it are a lot less. Whereas if you can get that information earlier and put the management practices in place, then you're more likely to be able to mitigate.
And as you mentioned before, the sentinels themselves are obviously central to the IMAP pests program. Can you tell us a little bit about your role in their actual design and construction?
Yeah, so the sentinels are indeed a concept that's come out of SARDI and done so in collaboration with some real key technology providers, both over in the United Kingdom with a provider called Agri Samplers Limited, and in collaboration with a very well-known research institute, Rothamsted Research. And we've been working with them in developing air samplers, particularly on both the ones that are specific to capturing insects and ones that are specific to capturing fungal spores. But we've then taken those air samplers and automated them using automation providers here locally in South Australia. The first two sentinels were developed with a company called Demotech Automation, and they had long-standing proven runs with a lot of critical infrastructure type of facilities such as water and alike. But more recently in the Sentinels 4, 5 and 6, we've done it with another company called Data Effects, and the reason we transitioned from one to the other was whenever you build a prototype, or in our case the first two, which were prototypes, you identify ways of then being able to do it better in the sense of more appropriate for our industries. And what we really needed to do was make not only more sort of robust sentinels, but particularly a lot more power efficient, and that automation technology needed to make the control systems a lot more compact, a lot more power efficient. And so we were able to develop in our newer sentinels sentinels which are, while they're still quite sizable, they're running off lithium ion technology coupled with solar panels charging them, and so you can really locate them out into the landscape and they'll manage themselves fairly effectively. So you know, this is whenever you roll out new technologies, it's always a learning curve, and we feel as if we've had the very fortunate predicament to be able to develop as we go and improve as we go, rather than stick to the original plan when we needed to be able to evolve.
Yeah, great. And just finally, what has been the process for reviewing the design and construction of the various versions of the Sentinels, and who has been involved in that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than just to take a platform that's been developed and take it out into the landscape and start getting it to do what it's meant to do. And that's precisely what we did with our first prototype. We took it to the grains industry out in the mid-north of South Australia, and then to the viticulture industry in the lower north. And then we put it through its paces by taking it up into far north Queensland, up around Cairns to work with the sugar industry. And so each one of those industries were engaged in being able to showcase the platform, which really is automated air samplers and data collection and weather collection, and having all of that fed through to the cloud, as well as the physical samples coming through the diagnostics lab. And all of those pathways then really were reviewed with those pathway providers. So we were doing it with the automation company. We were working with our collaborators in each industry with the way that we would handle samples. And then we're doing it with a working group here that with DataFX as well as SARDI and our UK partners, and sort of identifying where things needed to be refined and improved, and where the breakdowns were, so to speak. So the transition ended up being the critical focus of how well Sentinel 1 and Sentinel 2 performed, and were they able to not only collect data but also have very tight and secure sort of data processes linked to each one of those air samplers, and that the mechanics and the automation of the air samplers were able to go through without hassle. So once we identified where a system might have been either too complicated or too laborious, then we were able to refine that. So we went through a complete redesign with a local design house as well, on the way that our 6 metre aphid trap functioned, because we realised that initially was too complex, and we needed to try and make it a lot simpler, just because simpler obviously has less things to go wrong. So we're able to really produce a very, very different Sentinel in Sentinel 5 as to where we were when we would develop Sentinel 1.
Thanks so much for your time, Rowan. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Look, thank you very much for your time.
And that's it for today's episode. If you missed anything or want to check out our other episodes, please head to onionsaustralia.org.au/news-updates/podcasts.